He got home from the show at a respectable hour for once.
Kiddo, Willis H. Wonk simply says that the kitchenware industry
is in doubt.
You're not interested? Don't you think you ought to be? After all, your husband makes his living in the kitchen.
Well, I don't understand about correlating relationships and component elements and trash goodness. How was the banjo?
I never went.
No?
I spent the evening with Leroy Snow. Hello, Gov.
I advise you to be careful who you say hello to.
Okay. Mom, Leroy Snow is the happiest individual in the United States of America.
That's so?
Walking on air, he's so happy.
Here's something you can savvy, kiddo. Listen. Kitchenware, says Willis H. Wunk, may be compared to a horse up a tree. Horses, of course, do not climb trees. Oh, he's a witty son of a gun, that Willis H. Wunk. Witty and smart, too. He goes on to say, kitchenware's fortuitous juxtaposition to the miscellaneous properties that form the matrix of modern trade is tantamount to the accepted theory that numerical percentages of interdenominational tenets of ethical unity are secondary only to fiduciary interests involved in gubernatorial merchandising. Georgie said a mouthful that trip.
Please read to yourself.
Don't give a darn about stuff connected with the way your husband brings in a living, huh?
No.
Okay.
Mom, you never seen anybody as happy as Leroy Snow.
What's he happy about?
He's going to wear glasses and he's going to have a brace put on his teeth.
Yeah?
Dr. Price, the eyeglasses fell on Washington Street, is already busy making him some spectacles, and next Saturday, Dr. Keevy's going to install the tooth brace.
Oh, my.
Leroy's walking around on air. He's so delighted.
Well, why is he delighted? A nice-looking kid like that having his appearance?
That's the point. He's all through being pretty boy. With spectacles and braces, he'll be homely as a horse.
He wants to be homely as a horse?
Crazy to be homely as a horse. All his life, he's been handsome. Existence has been a burden, he's been so handsome.
Oh, I doubt if he's that handsome.
He's the handsomest individual in this neck of the woods. You gotta admit that. But now he's all through being a pretty boy, and he's happy as a lark. No more ladies attempting to hug and kiss him. No more aunts and grandmothers petting him. Next week he'll look horrible, and people will leave him alone. Why, by George, I bet the human race will be disgusted.
Pipe down a second, cow pastor. Kiddo, this is rich. Listen. Willis H. Wunk smiled a mischievous little smile and said, I'm glad you asked that question, and I'd like to answer it in the words of President James A. Garfield, who made this statement. If I were an elephant, I wouldn't bother learning to swim if the river I wanted to cross was only 3 feet deep.
Supposed to be a joke?
Huh?
If that's a joke, I don't catch on to what's comical.
Well, sure you do. If I were an elephant, I wouldn't bother to learn to swim if the river I wanted to cross was only 3 feet deep. Oh, he's a corker, that Willis H. Wunk. Got a mind like a buzzsaw. He goes on to say...
Might possibly be smelly cart.
Answer it. Ted and Ruthie wouldn't call this late, would they?
Might.
I doubt it. Past 9 o'clock.
Hello? Hi, yes, Leroy. Leroy Snow. Oh, what's on your mind, fella? That's so? Yeah?
Here's a clever little sentence.
I know.
Well, gee, that's well, Leroy.
Willis H. Wunk observes that beautiful women are like tropical birds whose gaze...
Hey, I can't hear a word Leroy's saying.
Oh, beg pardon, old friend.
How was that again, fella? Well, I'm glad you're so happy. You bet. Sure. Well, nice of you to telephone, Leroy. Okay, see you tomorrow. So long, fella. He's happier still now.
Is he?
He's gonna wear strips of adhesive tape on his ears next week.
Strips of adhesive tape?
Strips of adhesive tape to hold his ears back. Back against the side of his head.
Well, that's what they do to tiny babies.
Yeah, I know it.
I don't remember as Leroy's ears stuck out to where they needed tape to train him to stay against the side of his head.
They don't, but what does he care? He's doing it to keep from being so good-looking. Strips of adhesive tape plastered along an individual's skull goes a long way towards keeping that individual from being good-looking. Spectacles on his eyes, braces on his teeth, and strips of adhesive tape plastered along the side of his head. All that ought to keep Leroy Snow out of the pretty boy class. All that ought to discourage the ladies from attempting to hug and kiss him.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was an infant, his good looks caused him misery. He won about 6 beautiful baby contests, see? 6 beautiful baby contests he won.
All right. What is
it? This is rich.
Willie H. Wump say something cute again?
Willis H. Wump.
What did he say that was so cute?
He was addressing a banquet, see? Some wise guy started to heckle him. This wise guy says, pull in your ears, funny face. Willis H. Wonk... Willis H. Wonk gazed at his tormentor with a cold smile. Finally, he said, will the gentleman who has just spoken do me a kind favor? Will the gentleman who has just spoken go jump in the lake?
Oh, my.
Nailed on that trip, huh? The would-be heckler was crestfallen at Mr. Wonk's witty rejoinder and could barely produce a sick grin. A few minutes later, he repaired to the vestibule, donned his wraps, and left the banquet mildly discomfited. Mr. Wonk resumed his speech. Kitchenware, he said, is a complex manifestation of qualities and conditions, none of which can be measured. I would venture to hazard a guess that the binomial theorem of Plato adjusts itself as well as any to the media of arithmetical processes which so aptly combine to give us the scientific paraphernalia.
Oh, mercy.
Of my...
Huh? Have a heart.
I should think you'd be glad to pick up a few pointers on your husband's business.
Well, I'm not.
Okay.
Mom, getting back to Leroy Snow's good looks, he claims the number of ladies that have attempted to hug and kiss him...
I'm about as tired of Leroy Snow's good looks as I am of Willis H. Wonk's bright sands.
Did I mention Willis H. Wonk got hit by a train once?
Uh-uh.
The fast passenger train.
Huh.
Well, here. The night was dark and stormy, and the lights of the locomotive were dimmed and blurred by heavy fog. Willis H. Wonk, deep in profound reflection, walked along the railroad track. Suddenly, he heard the screech of the whistle and realized that...
Probably smelly car.
Answer and see.
Could be Milton Welch.
By George, this is odd.
Can I have it quiet, please, Doug?
The train come to a stop after it hit Willis H. Wonk, and that son of a gun, Willis H. Wonk, slapped the engineer upside the snoot.
Hmm.
Hello? Hi, yes, Leroy.
Watch out where you're going with that locomotive, you big cheese, he says.
Hmm.
Really, Leroy? By gosh, that is something. Yes, sir. Oh, boy. You bet. Sure thing. Uh-huh. Well, nice of you to call and tell me, fella. Not at all. See you tomorrow. Okay, Leroy. See you tomorrow. Goodbye. He's happier than ever.
Huh?
He's got permission to have his head shaved.
Hmm.
Next Monday morning, he'll show up in public wearing adhesive tape on his ears, glasses on his eyes, braces on his teeth, and bald as an eagle on his head.
Well...
He's completely through with being a pretty boy. His misery is over with. He'll soon be homely as a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Glorious?
Yeah.
I'm very glad for Leroy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very glad for Leroy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And at the dinner given for the sewage disposal workers in Flint, Michigan, Willis H. Wonk made the following statement.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now, here's Zella Lake.
You know, the other day down at the Red Cross, the conversation turned to cakes. So I just thought I'd sit back and listen. Well, one woman said her husband didn't give two hoots for a cake unless it was the old-fashioned kind. The woman across the table from her said her husband just plain liked cake. Good cake. Then looking at me, she said, and my family think Crisco cakes are the best ever. You know, that really tickled me because it wasn't so long ago she was struggling to manage points for butter cakes. But like a lot of one-time butter users, she found that cakes made with Crisco taste simply wonderful. They have a texture like velvet and a wonderful lightness. In fact, Crisco gives you lighter cakes than you can make with any other shortening, even your most expensive. You can depend on Crisco for that. Prove it to yourself. Surprise your family with an old-time marble cake. You'll find the recipe in Crisco's new wartime cookbook. Lots of other good cake suggestions, too. So send for your copy of Recipes for Good Eating. Just mail your name and address and 10 cents in coin with a Crisco label, any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio.
And don't forget to listen to Vacant Save the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible. This is the National Broadcasting Company.